Good morning. I'm so glad to be able to be here with you today. I'm so glad you're here as well. I hope you can say when you leave here today, it was good to have been here. Of course, what we want to do is to make sure we worship God in spirit and in truth, as Jesus Christ commands us in John chapter 4 and verse 24. That's our goal here today. So we want to keep our minds engaged in worship as we do this together. And also make sure we do it in a way which is truthful and right. So glad you're with us today as we try and do this together. And we try and honor God and learn some things that will help us throughout our week. And maybe live a bit better lives or encourage us to go through and be what God would have us to be. I want to ask a question this morning. How can man be saved? How can man be saved? How is man saved? And who saves? And what saves? All these very important questions. And they're answers that the Bible gives us. That's the whole point, after all. You go from Genesis through Revelation, you see that man has a sin problem very early on in Genesis. And the entire rest of Scripture is about how that problem is solved. In fact, back in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, you have God making a plan to one day save man, even though he was, well, man fell in the garden. We understand how that went. But the prophecy was given that although, well, you would eventually have salvation through Jesus Christ, even though he would die on the cross for our sins. That's alluded to in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. But I want to talk about what's the Bible say about salvation. How's the Bible save us? How does the Bible tell us we're saved? I want to go through some scriptures this morning with you. And maybe if you have a card, whether it's cards in the back where you check off scriptures, you might check off a few this morning. But we see in Romans chapter 8, verse 33, that God justifies man. So if there is a Savior, it's God. God justifies man. But there's more than that. Also, we see that Jesus will save us from our sins in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. In talking about Jesus coming to earth, Jesus would save us from our sins. That's the point of Jesus coming. But also, on the same vein, we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, that we're saved through Jesus by the Spirit of the Lord. So also you see that not just God the Father, but God the Son and God the Holy Spirit all contribute to our having salvation from sin and from destruction. That's who saves us, but there's more than that. We see that in James 1:21, we see we're to lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. I like King James there, which says, superfluity of nuttiness. Use that word a lot, superfluity. Me either. And receive with meekness and grafted word, which is able, or implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So what can save my soul? The implanted word of God, given to us by the Holy Spirit and ratified for us by Jesus Christ and his death on the cross for our sins. That's how it works. That's what saves us. But it goes on. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, he says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You've got to have faith. And it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So this faith comes by me being open to it. I have to learn. I have to study. I have to get it in my head somehow. So when you have preachers, there are those who preach and those who hear. But the idea of all of us spread knowledge either in a writing way or in a spoken way, but we have to receive that word. We see in 1 Corinthians 1:21, he said, for since the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching. Foolishness of preaching to save those who believe. So this faith, we have to believe. How does it come to us? Well, God made this thing called preaching. Preaching is a kind of teaching. You say, well, isn't preaching and teaching the same thing? Pretty much. But this method of proclaiming God's word, the world calls foolishness, but God says, no, it's through that preaching that men can be saved. So preaching that faith is a very important part of it. We know he knows who will preach and teach to those who need to hear it. Romans 5:1 says, we are justified by faith. Justified is another word for salvation. So we're saved by faith. That makes sense. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, being justified by faith. Also, we see in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, for by grace have you been saved through faith. Not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. You're saved by grace through faith. So I have to have faith, and faith could be access to grace. Faith's the idea of actually following what God said do. In Romans chapter 3, verse 24, it says, being justified freely by his grace, we see we get grace through faith, last verse, through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. So I see I can have grace through faith, which saves me, but only through Jesus Christ. We talk about Jesus Christ will be the one who saves from our sins. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Now we see that in Jesus Christ we have this salvation. I want to be saved. Not just who saves me, but where am I saved? I'm saved in Christ Jesus. The Bible gives us these very simple ideas. For we're saved by hope, it says also in Romans chapter 8, verse 24. All the things we've talked about to this point, he says, you got to have hope too. What do you got to have hope? You got to have hope that gives us something beyond this life, something beyond tomorrow. If I just live for what's today, what do I have? Nothing. What keeps me going? What keeps me working and studying and growing and trying to help make the world a better place? Because of what comes next. For all of us, there is a next. For man or woman, on their last day of life, there's always a next breath. But what's after the next breath? There's always something after that next and last breath. There's something else. Hope causes us to reach out to that. And the Bible tells us a way that we can be ready for that time when we will all one day lay things down. Because we can't carry those things one inch further. We go to funerals. We go to grave sites. One thing I learned very early on from an older preacher was you got to tell people at the graveside that at that point that we've gone as far as we can with that loved one. They're already gone, you see. And that person, that body in the casket, that's as far as they're going to go in an earthly form, but they're gone. We will all one day leave this earth and we'll leave our bodies that God so richly bless us with, but we're saved by hope that there's something more so that keeps us going and keeps us striving for God's love and God's protection. 1 John 4:7 says we're saved by love. That mankind can't be saved without love. In fact, he says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loves is born of God. So to be born of God, I must be someone who loves. Not only God, but we love each other as human beings, brothers and sisters. If I can have love in my heart, I can't be saved. What saves us? Well, at least partially, love does. And what that love means and how that love makes itself manifest. There are many ways that love does that. And although there are many ways that love manifests itself, you can see it by things people do and the way people act. We're saved by love. Also, we're saved, it says, for godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. So if I'm to be saved, I have to not only have faith or belief, and which gives me access to grace, which is in Christ Jesus, I also have to be willing to repent, because repentance leads to salvation. The pathway to salvation goes through this thing called repentance, which means I want to do better. I want to do what's right. I want to change my ways, and I want to go back to things I've done that are wrong and make better choices. That's repentance. That's trying to turn around the other way. Repentance means you got to change direction of your life, of your will, of your choices. And the thing that occurs to me, and occurs to everyone who's been a Christian more than a week, is that never changes. That your entire life, you'll always be finding ways to please God and try and make changes in your life, because you realize that God's instruction book to mankind is for our benefit, and we can make changes to that process every day we live. Whether you're 15 or 105, doesn't matter. As long as we're in this body, we always have things that can be changed to make our lives better and more fruitful and better off all the way around. Luke 13:3 says, we add to our faith and repentance and add the idea of you have to repent or you're going to perish. Now, Jesus spoke these words to those who were closest to him on this earth, those who walked with him for 3 years. He told them that unless they repent, his followers, his apostles, his disciples, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Now, if he could tell that to his people who walked the streets with him, he can tell it to you and me, and that's how it applies to us. That we need to make sure our lives are those who are that which actually wants to change our lives more and more and be more like God would have us to be. And that's better for everybody. The more my life is like Christ would have it to be, the better man I am. The better citizen of Heiko I am. The better husband I am. The better father. The better grandfather. The better preacher. All of us can say that. The more I bring my life in alignment with God and his will, the better off I am on this earth, and I'll have a home going toward heaven. What saves man? One thing is repentance. In Romans chapter 10, verse 10, he says, for the heart one believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So I also need to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We have examples of that, of course, in the book of Acts, where you see that very thing happen. And 1 Peter 3:21 says this. He says, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. It's not taking a bath. But the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So this idea of being saved by something in Jesus Christ is still very powerfully present. But he says baptism has nothing to do with getting wet. It's the idea of responding to God's commands, having the answer of a good conscience toward God. That word answer in the King James is actually a word that means request. So it means when I do what God asked me to do, I request of God a clean conscience because I've done that which God commands. Unfortunate translation in the King James there, but it simply means that we are saved by submitting to what God wants us to do. Romans 5:9 puts it this way. He says, much more than being now justified by his blood, because baptism would be nothing without the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross for our sins. You know, my sins and your sins. Those are the sins that took Jesus to the cross, and while kept him nailed there, those agonizing hours, did that for you and I. Praise God. We're saved by his blood. And then we see in 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. What causes us to have fellowship? What is the basis of Christian fellowship? The fact that we both care about God's word and we walk in the light of God's word. That's what that means there. Walking in the light means we're walking according to God's book. Y'all have been to football games, haven't you? I know y'all have been to football games. Football, I'll say it right in a second. And you can play football because you have two teams and they're playing by the same rules. Now, sometimes we fuss if a ref misses a call. One of our favorite players gets roughed up a bit. But the fact is they all play by the same rule book. That's what makes the game possible. This idea of a standard. And God says here that we all have fellowship with each other. We all have a relationship with each other if we will walk by the light. And if we walk in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. This is very important. Because for those who believe, who repent of sin, that's an ongoing process, who are baptized into Christ, the problem is, once you make the decision, you're not in Christ Jesus, but we all still sin. I know the idea some people have that once you're a saved person, you never sin again. That's just false. There are too many Bible examples that doesn't work that way. Well, how can we make it right? How can we have our sins forgiven going forward? Well, we walk in the light. We listen to God's word by faith because we hear preaching and teaching on it. And we try and make our lives fit with that. Everybody does that. The fact that everyone does that means we have fellowship with each other. The fact that we all have the same enemy brings us together. My enemy, like yours, is myself. And my own self-will, my own self-desire, being tempted, of course, by the one who is the devil, talked about in Scripture. But we can have salvation presented to us. We can have the blood of Jesus wash over our life like you would windshield wipers as you go down the road in a rainstorm. That's a fantastic picture, but that's what this verse talks about. And if I try and live by God's teaching, I can have salvation in that way. Acts 4:12 says, there is salvation in no other name but the name of Jesus. No other name under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Now, there are other verses we could talk about, but the word name here means God's authority. To be saved in God's name means being saved by God's authority. That's fantastic. So I put myself under the umbrella of God's authority, I can be saved. And by the way, there is none other authority where you can be saved. None other authority than that of Jesus Christ, his authority and God's authority that God gave him, that can we be saved by. So where can I go for salvation? God, more specifically, Jesus Christ. Because we already saw that in him is grace, in him is the blood. If we want what God wants, if we want what God has, we've got to go where God put it. Praise God. In Titus 3:5, he says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. How do I become one with God to the Holy Ghost? By the washing of regeneration. That's an allusion to their baptism. We find in other places in Scripture, in the book of Acts especially, that every single person that was saved in the book of Acts was also baptized. In fact, that's how they became part of the saved every time. So it's not a part we neglect. In fact, part of the reason of this lesson right now is because people will say, listen, I'm saved by faith. Sure, but what else? I'm saved by God. Sure, but what else? Now, I'm saved by Jesus. Yes, but what else? Well, I thought you said we're saved by hope. Yes, but what else? And I cannot say, can I, with any good conscience or reason, that I'm saved by hope only. If I only have hope, I'm saved. Without God, without Jesus, without faith, hope only saves me. That would make no Bible sense, would it? Yet people say, well, I'm saved by faith and faith alone. Martin Luther said that a long time ago. He's been wrong ever since. He was wrong then. Because we're saved by faith. But what else? But who else is involved with that? We'll see in just a moment what James says about that. James 2:24, he says, you see then that by works a man is justified. By works a man is justified, not by faith only. Is a man saved by faith? Absolutely he is. What is faith? Faith in James involves works. In fact, James says, does man have faith? He'll also have works. Because without works, well, he says in verse 26 that faith without works is dead also. Just like the body without the spirit's dead. When has someone passed on? We talked about funerals in general a while ago, and how the person in the casket is really not there anymore. Why? Because their spirits left them. When's the physical body stop being living, when the spirit leaves them? Man has multiple parts. There's a physical body, which we're all thankful for. But what animates it is our spirit. God gave us a spirit and a body. And when the spirit leaves us, that's when our body stops working, stops functioning. Just like that when it comes to religion and what God wants of us, he says, when faith without works is dead also. So if my faith has not actions behind it, like love and repentance and confession and being a good, godly person, those things, without that, faith is dead, and dead faith cannot save. Matthew 10, verse 22. This is a wonderful passage. Because taking all the other things we've been talking about, here the Word of God says, ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endures, or King James, endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. So, well, all the other things on the table, all the other things God says, what else does Jesus tell his followers? If you want to be saved in the last day, you have to endure. Endure in your faith. Endure in your hope. Endure in God's mercy. To endure to the end. The idea of following through with your faith until the very last moment you have, you'll have a home in glory. But to receive that home, though, You have to be willing to endure to the end. In Romans 5, verse 10, we also see that we're saved by the life of Jesus. Now, this is important because we see that Jesus died on the cross, but to die on the cross, he had to live to get to the point, and he had to live in such a way he could be willing to die. We remember the Garden of Gethsemane where Jesus prayed three times, "Father, let this cup pass from me." And three times he said that word, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine, Father, be done." Praise God. If we could all have that mindset. "Father, I don't like what's going on here. It's hard, Father." Not like it was for Jesus. But we all have our crosses to bear. If we can all say, "I don't like it. It's hard. It's difficult. But Father, not my will, but thine be done." It's by Jesus' life then, what he did on that cross, his life led to his death, that we are saved. What saves us? Jesus' life and Jesus' death. In Acts 2:40, this is an often overlooked passage, often by our religious friends. But he says, "With many other words did he," that is Peter, "testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation." Now, this is where the rubber meets the road, all right? This is where it gets serious, because we see all the things that lead to your salvation, all the things God's done from history, from eternity, for you, from the Garden of Eden, going forward, all the promises God made for your salvation, all the prophets, all the preachers, all the acts of God that he did to lead to your salvation rests in this one critical point. All the grace, all the mercy leads to this one idea. We have to be willing to save ourselves from the world around us. We have to walk a different walk and talk a different talk. You say, "Well, Jim, I can't save myself." We talked about the blood of the cross. We've talked about God. We talked about the Holy Spirit. We talked all these other things. I can't save myself. "Jim, you said I'm saved by grace." Well, the Word says that. "You're saved by God's mercy." The Word says that. And the Word also says that we save ourselves in this very literal sense, that we all have to make the decision of who and what we're going to follow. Now, on that day, in Acts 2, they were all told there that day that they were guilty of the blood of Jesus, because they yelled before Pilate, "Crucify him! Crucify him! Give us the other thief, give us the bad guy, but crucify Jesus. We want Barabbas, but kill Jesus." And when Pilate said, "But Jesus is innocent," and the Jews cried out, let his blood be upon us and our children. You say, "I would never say that if I were there." Maybe not. But yet our sins all nailed him to the cross. That's why he was there. The reason for Jesus' cross was because you and I make bad decisions. By God's grace and mercy, we have the cross of Jesus, that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, 1 John 1:7, his blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness. But that all hinges on Acts 2:40. That's all hinges on this verse. That given all the resources we have, we have to choose to save ourselves and be sanctified or separated from those around us to do God's will. To be a priestly people. To be a Christian or Christ-like people. that decision we can't make for anybody else, and I wish we could. I wish we could make the decision for other people, and I wish the building could be full right now. And while we can work toward that goal and reaching people and trying to love people, the fact is that every person must make the decision for themselves to be saved by God's grace and mercy and follow Him. To hear His voice and follow Him, because Jesus says, "My sheep hear My voice and they follow Me." And that's the way that we can have the best life. Sometimes people, you're wrapped up in the idea of, well, how can I know there's a God? I would say, well, there's all kinds of evidences in the Bible we can look at, have entire sermons on that. We have at least one sermon a month on the idea of apologetics. That's a very powerful thing. But one thing we have to all realize is living by godly principles gives us the best life we can have. Being good, loving, honest, giving people produces the best outcome for everybody if you're among people who love that way too. Even those who are outside of that can see that in the church if we're living as we should, although we all make mistakes. It's a good life, and it's what God commands us to do. Romans 1:16 says that we're saved by the power of the gospel, and I love this verse because the word power there is the word dynamite. In the Greek, it's the word dunamis, where we get the word dynamite. So the gospel is literally the dynamite of God. It can change people's eternal destiny if we just listen to the gospel. What saves us is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's God's power. There also in Hebrews 5:8-9 says we are saved by obedience, that Jesus Christ is the author or giver of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. Again, there's this idea that I have to make a choice. I'm saved by grace and Jesus and God the Father and the Holy Spirit, all those things. But I have to make the decision to follow what God has said do. Paul puts it this way to the church at Thessalonica. He says, there will be one day be flaming fire of vengeance on those that disregard God, that obey not the gospel of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Remember, the gospel is that dynamite of God, Paul said to the Romans. Now he says to these people, he says, you can avoid that punishment that God has for those who reject Him if you will be those who know God and obey the gospel. That dynamite. Now in the process of this, again he says this word obey in Romans chapter 6 verse 16 and 17. He says, don't you understand that to whom you yield yourselves, idea of, again, I have to yield myself, servants to obey, his servants are whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. Because Paul makes the point here, it's very simple, very powerful point that we all obey something. We obey sin unto death or obedience to God unto righteousness, but we make our choices. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine which was delivered to you. So what saves man? Obedience to something. To what? Well, you got to obey from the heart. You got to do it sincerely. But you have to obey a doctrine. A doctrine is a teaching. So I can't be saved just by Jesus, nothing else. I'm saved by Jesus' doctrine. So teaching matters in my life. Teaching matters in how I can be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. As I bring the lesson to a close. He says, he that keeps the commandments dwells in him. And he in him. And hereby we know that he abides in us by the Spirit which God hath given us. In Galatians 3, kind of ties at least some of this together for us. For ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. But now watch the next part of this verse, because this ties it together. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. How can I become a child of God by faith? Baptized into Him. And that starts a lifetime of decisions and walking in God's light. And I want to stress this. I want to stress it right now for me and for you. We all, elders, deacons, grandmas, grandpas, preachers, we all make a horrible mess of this. Your mama, your daddy made a horrible mess of this, even if they were faithful Christians. We all mess this up terribly. But we can, for John, we can be forgiven. And we can take the mess of our lives and we can go on and try and walk in the light as He is in the light. That means, although you're going to mess up and make mistakes, don't give up God's teaching. Because if you're a child of God, if you've been baptized into Christ, if you keep on trying to walk in the light, His blood cleanses you from all unrighteousness, but that means you've got to try. You can't give up. That's why we're saved by hope, you see, because we don't give up. We all have things we bear that no one else bears just like you do. We all have burdens. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, all our temptations are common to man. That's true. We all face the same kinds of troubles and trials. But the fact is, those common troubles and trials are specific to you and me in a very particular way. And God says, keep hope alive and follow me and love each other and work together and you'll be okay. Trust God. Trust the Son. Trust the Spirit. And live that way and execute that. I've never been a coach. I kind of have, but not really. And especially not though in team sports. But I've heard coaches say, as I've been coached quite a bit, this one simple phrase. When things are hard, in the heat of the moment, when battle is at its highest, these three words, are you ready for them? Execute the plan. When things seem dark and things seem hard, execute the plan. In our lives, when things are great, hey, execute that plan. When things are dark and hopeless, execute that plan. And things in our family and things at work and things all around us, the device is still, execute that plan. Now, I don't know what coach first said that, but it's been God's plan all along. How is man saved? That list, all those things. And you could take that word obedience and you could subdivide that in 1,000 ways. Whatever God says do, obey that. But these are the things that lead to your salvation. Now I want you to look at that list and understand that when it comes to your salvation and the salvation of everyone in this town, everyone in this world, that's all that God did, all that. Our part is to save ourselves from this wicked generation. So we have to decide ourselves to follow the plan. We have to choose ourselves to execute that plan. But God did all that work so we could have this plan to follow. Praise God. What leads to your salvation? The world does. Eternity does. God's plan from before time began leads to my salvation and your salvation. Praise God for that. Now, I know there are different ideas and plans. I know that popular televangelists have their plans. I know that the Pope has his plan. Dalai Lama has his plan. Islam has their plan. The Prophet Muhammad. But what we have to do is open the Word. And we have to spend time with the Word. And we have to make sure that we're going to take time and talk about this Word with each other. And teach each other and teach our children and spend time thinking about it. So we can execute the plan God gave us. Now, there may be someone here today who, I hope all of us can take this encouragement and see what God has done through time, history, and time for us. I hope all of us can see that and be encouraged by it. I know I am. And I hope that if there's someone here today that wants to talk about more about salvation or needs to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, you can be urged on by the words we've seen here today that you want to talk more about that or make the decision right now. But if you have a need to respond to the invitation, yes, for the prayers of the church, you want to discuss any of these things in more depth, would you please make it known? Please come as we stand and sing this hymn.